This is Carrie.
And Michelle. And welcome to Raising Your Consciousness.
This is a space to raise our consciousness and reach our full spiritual potential.
And that's through spiritual, esoteric, and even magical practices. We're here to bring happiness and meaning back into your life.
Let's get started.
Good afternoon, everyone. And today we are going to talk about life path numbers and how do you figure it out and what does it mean and how can it help you with your purpose, understanding what you're here for, and so much more. So Carrie, I'm going to let you start with the whole thing.
Okay. So I first learned about life path numbers from a book called Holistic Tarot by the author Benabel Wen. And the idea she presents about these life path numbers is that they can be used to enhance a tarot reading, but they can also be used just to think about your own purpose. So I want to talk first about the ideas of the life path number. There's a little bit of numerology in a life path number. You may be familiar or heard of Pythagoras, mm-hmm. like in the Pythagorean theorem. So this is coming from Pythagorean numerology. And we all know Pythagoras for his solids and his theorems, but he was also a bit of a mystic. He believed in reincarnation, the idea that the soul is eternal and will be delivered to another body after death and all that. And that's probably a topic for a separate podcast, but you can determine your life path number, which is a number between 1 and 9. And each one of those numbers has associated with it a particular archetype. And so I was thinking we could work through how to calculate your life path number and then talk about the archetype. And we can talk about some of the archetypes associated with the different numbers. Michelle, would you like to do your birthday or mine?
Let's do mine. Okay. We could do yours too. It doesn't really matter. I do have a question for you.
Sure.
In some of the books that I've read, you know, when you tally up the number, you come up with a 2-digit number. So it could be like 35 and you add the 5 and the 3 together and you get an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at the 3, the 5 and the 8, or do you only look at the 8? Because in some books I've seen that you want to look at the 3 and the 5, but the 8 is the original number.
Yeah. In the book I have, we're reducing that number down into a single digit. Although there are two kind of special numbers, like sort of like these power numbers that can come about. So if you like do this addition for your birth date and you end up with an 11 or a 22, those can be interpreted separately, according to this author, Benabel Wen.
Now, I've heard that if you do come up with an 11, that 11s are really either on their last life or they're going to have to start all over. So it's sort of like the challenge. It's the big challenge, you know, like mm-hmm. If you screw it up. And a lot of times people that are 11s are supposed to be really powerful. So they could be famous. They, you know, a lot of different things like that. And 11s are being tested because a lot of fame or a lot of power, or a lot of presented to a person can actually change them.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that came up in your book because I read that once.
Oh, yeah. So we can talk about the 11. And it's funny you mentioned that. Did you know that I am a life path 11?
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't say I'm a life path 2, but I've got like the number, the master number 11 on top of that.
So the way I understood it is if you're kind of screwing it up and you're not evolving spiritually, then if you're evolving spiritually, you're an 11. But if you're not evolving spiritually, you get reduced down to a 2.
Yeah. So hopefully with this podcast, I'll learn a few things and not have to go too far backwards. But I'll read for you. Well, first, maybe before I do that, we should talk about how listeners can calculate their life path number doing this and talking about these different, you know, archetypes and master numbers. Folks can have a feel for what they are. So let's do you and okay. Get you going here. So the idea of a life path number is you're basically adding up the digits of your birth date. So you're adding up your month plus your day plus your year, right? Mm-hmm. And so What month are you born in?
I was born in August. So
okay. So that's an 8.
Yeah. 8/5/1966.
Okay. So I'm just writing this down so I do the math correctly. So we have 8 + 5 = 12, right? And then we've got 1966. So we've got 10 + 12, which is 22, right?
Hold on a second. I'm doing it on the calculator. I come up with 35, and then you add 5 and 3.
Okay. So I'm adding, so I'm just doing one thing at a time. So I've got 12 plus 22, and that gives me, did I do this right? 10 plus 12, 2.
So the way I did it, what is, I did 8 + 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. 8 + 5 = 13, not 12. Okay.
13 plus 20. That's why I use the calculator.
Yeah. We would put you in the wrong path. So that's, so 13 plus 22, that gives us 35.
Right.
And then 3 + 5 gives us 8.
Okay. So just to be clear, you're going to add 8 + 5 + 1 + 9 + 6 + 6. So it's August the 5th, 1966. So you're adding every single one of those numbers together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then that comes up with 35. Mm-hmm. And then you take 35, you add it together, and you come up with an 8.
Exactly. Now what's interesting too about that 35, that 35, when you add up the numbers like that one by one, that 35 is also known as your decisive age. So it could be that a decisive age for somebody is, you know, has already happened for them or will happen in the future. And it might be a time where an important decision has to be made.
I got a divorce at 35.
Oh my goodness gracious. Oh, yeah. So, wow.
My first marriage. Yeah. I divorced at 35.
Okay.
So that's interesting. You said that. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. So for the archetype of life path 8, you are considered a tycoon, which kind of makes sense because you are a businesswoman, an entrepreneur. Would you like me to read this to you?
Sure. I'd love
it. I'm reading from Benabel Wen's book, Holistic Tarot.
Okay, go for it.
Right. The life of a life path 8 can often play out like a tragicomedy, dramatic and Gatsby-esque, filled with glamour and glitz, or harrowing pain, cataclysms, and loss. Power struggles are often the crux of their struggles. Inadvertently, the people they hurt most are the people they love the most. Life path 8s do not like drama, and yet their lives play out like one anyway. They are both visionaries and risk takers. They follow their own decisions and rarely take into consideration what others advise. So there's a tendency to get reckless in their youth, especially when they become single-mindedly obsessed with achieving a particular goal. Although life path 8s are visionaries, they have a difficult time articulating to others what it is they see and often can fail to convey their visions to others. Thus, what seems clear and unambiguous to the life path 8 may remain confusing and poorly explained to others. For life path 8s, stability is often a main contentious issue. Depending on nurture and environment or social factors, life path 8s can be either incredibly stable, secure, and resourceful, or they go in the opposite direction and have to constantly battle with stability and attaining a sense of stability. Life path 8s often end up in situations that can only be described as quantum entanglements. They have an extreme relationship with power, politics, money, property, wealth, and assets. There are also two types of life path 8s, the born tycoon or the born pauper. This does not mean you'll necessarily be a tycoon or a pauper. Rather, life path 8s simply have a relationship with money throughout their lives that feels like a vicious cycle. All life path 8s must strive actively to find balance and temperance with money matters. For life path 8s, the material plane and personal finances is a source of drama. Some life path 8s become wealthy, but are insecure in their wealth. Others struggle to make ends meet and are thus insecure with their financial situations. For life path 8s, there's a consistent tension between what they have and what they want, defined in material terms.
Interesting.
Did any of that ring true for you?
Yeah, so I would say that up until I really started understanding manifesting, I struggled financially, and really it was challenging up until I actually joined the order. So like when I joined the order, everything, you know, because we had to go through grounding, and the grounding is what made the huge difference for me. I mean, it created stability. First part of my life, I was married for 13 years and I never managed any of the finances.
Yeah.
And then, so I didn't know how. And it took me a while to figure that out. And then, and I really didn't have anybody teaching me or showing me the way, you know, so it was learned by doing and making all kinds of mistakes, you know? So, yeah, so a lot of that makes a lot of sense. I mean, but there used to be a lot of drama in my life, but I don't really have drama anymore. But there was a lot of drama in my adult life. Gosh, I would say till I was about 40, until I met Patrick. Patrick, you know, my first teacher, he kind of like cleared out that space, and a lot of that stopped. So it's interesting because it was very true. Me making decisions for myself, yes. But a lot of that now is, I don't know, I just feel like I make the best decisions now.
Yeah, well, I feel like in a way, like maybe the life path is something that you are kind of like, this is what you're starting out with. And then as you learn and you grow, you're able to move beyond the challenges presented by and given to you by that path and learn from those challenges.
Well, I definitely feel like the, you know, joining the order has made a difference, you know, because it's been this elevated spiritual growth. So a lot of things have been resolved within me. You know, it's the challenges you were born with, have a lot of them have been, you know, worked on. So it's interesting.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, like I say, I'm getting this from a tarot book. And so I think sometimes the idea is you could take your life path number and also apply that, you know, like give yourself that card in the major arcana. And the number 8 is strength in most of the decks. And I think that really applies to you. And I think it applies to you double. The typical imagery of that strength card is showing the woman with the lion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And with you, I know you're a Leo, and that idea of the Leo being the I will and the strength that comes from that sign seems also pretty appropriate. And so I remember when I first heard about this idea of the life path numbers, like I would take my life path number card, which is 2, the High Priestess, and meditate on that card, you know, and try to, you know, maybe glean some insight into myself from that imagery.
You know, another good book, I think it's Dan Millman. It's called The Life You Were Born to Live. Ooh. And he has a lot of information about it, but he also breaks down, like he'll call it the 35-8 or the 44-8. And he breaks it down and gets into like how to overcome some of these challenges that you have.
So for you, like then, like the idea is you would be a 35-8 because, right. Yeah, before you reduce that number down, it's 35.
Yeah. So in his book, it says 8 says abundance and power. But he also breaks down the 5. Freedom and discipline is the 5, and 3 is expression and sensitivity. So it's like it's kind of how your 8 is constructed. It's kind of like the difference between saying I'm a Leo and then charting out your whole horoscope with all your moons and your nodes and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of like the difference. You know, breaks it down and gives you a little bit of a clearer, you know, perspective on it. It's pretty interesting, you know, though, to kind of look at that and say, you know, what are some of your weaknesses? What are your strengths? The biggest thing that I got out of here when I read his book was supposed to be the year of power. I mean, you're supposed to gain some kind of residence in power, Like, you're not supposed to just be kind of the lay person in this lifetime. And it was always kind of a guiding point for me. It's sort of like, okay, I'm supposed to be powerful. I'm supposed to, I'm supposed to be successful. I'm supposed to, you know, so it was always a, you know, a guiding wheel for me. But I definitely think that a lot of the challenges that you're supposed to overcome as an eight, I've done a lot of work on.
Sure.
But then again, I am kind of old, you know, I'm 56. So, you know,
you are not old at all.
I have many years to do. So let's do you.
All right. Okay. So my birthday is 12/14/1974. All right. And so I will add those up. I get 3 + 5 = 10 + 11. So I end up with 11, which is kind of a special number, but it does reduce down to 2, which is technically my life path number is 2, since they're between 0 and 9. And the archetype for life path number 2 is the minister. And so it's a little bit shorter than yours as tycoon. So again, this is from Benabel Wen's book. So mine is born peacemaker, spiritual, enlightened, diplomatic, a powerful mediator, resolves conflicts. Temperance is a strong attribute. Tries to find balance and harmony in situations. Tendency to be indecisive or hesitant. Oh my God, that is like absolutely me for sure. Suited for careers that demand strong skills in conflict resolution. Counseling, mediation, ambassadorships, international or global relations, the medical profession, social work, or careers in music all align well with life path twos. Avoid competitive work or work that requires earning commissions to make a living or careers of an adversarial nature. Motivated by interpersonal relationships and balance. Stronger mental faculties than physical. That's true. I'm not very physical. Physical weakness will need greater attention to taking care of the body. A life path two will have the soul of an artist. Oh, they are sensitive, perceptive, and can also be withdrawn. Sensitivity is both their greatest strength and their greatest weakness. Ability to understand both sides can lead life path twos to hesitation when what they need most is conviction. They intuitively know what people's needs are, so they're tactful and diplomatic. Yet life path twos try too hard to appease everybody's needs that they end up unable to make judgments or decisions when needed. Guilty.
Guilty. Yes.
Guilty.
Hey, yeah. I want to ask you a question. Tell me your number again. Tell me your birthday.
Okay. So 12/14/1974.
Okay. So you're 29. So you're a 29/11. Okay. So you also have a 2 and a 9 in there.
So I think then that 29 also would serve as my decisive age. And I'm trying to, gosh, what year was I 29 years old?
See what year?
This I will need a calculator for. I'm not sure how, like, what year was that? And what was I doing? I may have gotten married that year when I was 29. So let's see. Yep, I got married that year.
Wow. So that is so interesting how your, you know, that happened. So you're in this book, it says double creativity and confidence. 9 is integrity and wisdom. And 2 is cooperation and balance. It's interesting. Oh my God. How interesting. But you also have the double ones. So you have a tremendous creative potential. Wow, that's interesting. And it's really cool, though, that you're actually working on your spiritual growth, because that means that this is supposed to be your last lifetime.
Whew, I don't know that I feel ready for that.
Oh my God, you're so funny.
But it is like, so in the Benabel Wen book with she calls like the numbers 11 and 22 master numbers. So if you ended up with a 22, your life path number is still a 4, which I think like the, let me see what the, which is the archetype of architect. But these master numbers of 11 and 22 kind of add to it. And she says for people with life path 11 is that they have a general inclination towards mysticism and spiritual knowledge. Yeah. And so clearly that's true of me. And then the people with life path digits that add up to 22, they have extraordinary abilities to accomplish goals. They're master builders of society and have great potential for material success. I am not a 22. I'm not a master builder of society.
You're an 11.
I'm an 11. So I'm interested in the knowledge.
So I'm going to tell you something interesting about this. Okay. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and I want you to think back. Okay. So after I tell you this, but when Shane and I separated, I got a small apartment and the address was 1111. And then it was Pleasant Colony. That was the name of the street. And my apartment number was 11011. So all those numbers add up to an 8.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had so much peace and everything. It was like I had never felt so much contentment going through what I was going through at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. When we got back together, we ended up moving into a townhouse and the numbers were not the same. And we had a lot of issues with neighbors and stuff like that. And then when we moved into this house, the address is 11303, adds up to an 8.
Ah!
And the awesome. Name of the street is Golden Ray. I know. So isn't that just kind of bizarre?
That is crazy.
Makes a difference. Yeah, yeah. And here's the other thing. One of my clients is Hindu. And my door is painted. When we bought it, it was painted blue. And I asked him, I said, you know, I know that the people that used to live here, they were either Buddhist or Hindu because the houses, the door is just this blue door. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know which direction the house is facing? And I said, north. And he goes, okay, well, that's good. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I was definitely looking for a house that was facing north, you know. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but for whatever reason, they probably wanted more water.
Mm.
And he said, a lot of times people will paint their doors either red or, you know, depending on what they're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. And they painted the door blue because they wanted more water, meaning that for some reason now. Here's the interesting thing. Our front yard, the grass doesn't grow very well. And so maybe that's why they painted it blue because it wanted more water. I don't know. It's fascinating, you know, the difference that just shifting a little few things in your life. So just out of curiosity, when you look at the address of the place you used to live in and the place you live now, do you know what those numbers add up to?
My old address had a lot of numbers because like not only was there a street address, but the street itself was a number. And then our condo has a unit number. So I was never really sure. So our unit number added up to 11.
Okay.
I was really pleased with that. Okay, that's kind of a serendipitous unit number.
What was the street number?
3410
plus 4 plus 10 equals 17 plus what was the unit number?
So the unit number added up to 11.
Okay, so I'll just put 1 plus 1. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have 8, 9, 10, 11. 11. That's interesting. Okay, what about the one you live in now?
Yeah, so it's a little bit crazier. So it's 3861.
Okay, wait, hold on. Uh-huh. 3 plus 8 plus 6 plus 1. And then what's the unit number?
464.
4 plus 6 plus 4. 3, 4, 5, 6. So that adds up to 6. Mm-hmm. Do you feel any difference in where you used to live and where you live now? Is there any kind of, now, you know, you told me about that guy that lived across, that was walking around the street. Do you feel a little bit of less comfort than you did in the other one?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love, you know, the new place is perfect. But yeah, it is, it's not quite as, I don't know, comfort would be a good word. Like just, it does feel more open compared to the other place. Like, it's just more exposed to people and just the world in general. Other place was like, just kind of like in this, was in an upstairs unit. It was like kind of surrounded by trees. And so it was just very much, you know, you're in your own world when you're up here. We're here. I mean, it's nice because I can look outside the window and see people walking their dogs. And, you know, it's, I look out and I see like a community garden. But it does feel a little bit more exposed, I think. And so I kind of like to, again, you know, go back to with the numbers, like reducing the numbers down to like either a single digit or two digits. And then thinking about, well, what is that card in the major arcana? And does it apply to, you know, whatever I'm looking at, right? So it's,
I find it interesting though, but you know, there's when you're looking at numerology and also feng shui and some of those other little things, there's things that they call cheats. So for instance, the people who owned this house before, maybe they, you know, I know that they were a Buddhist or they were a Hindu. I don't know which one, but I think they were Buddhist, but they painted the door blue. So there's things that you can do that you can add more, you know, to create a little bit more balance and harmony for you and for him. So you might want to add his numbers up and see what his are, and then see what kind of, what does that number represent for your home? And then see if there's anything that you can do to create some balance in that. Like, and it could be as simple as, you know, painting a door. I don't know if do that or not where you live, but there's things that you can do, like painting your house, the internal part of your house, or, you know, putting specific things that represent stuff. And also too, you know, because you're an 11, you know, you can always, you know, do things like put the number up somewhere, you know, like just to add that difference in there. I don't know. There's always like these little cheats that you can do. It'd be interesting to find out if there's any books on that to discover, you know, how do you create balance with that?
Yeah. And two, it's something, you know, one could experiment with to try to figure out, well, what am I lacking? What am I looking for in my space? And does my space work well for my personality? You know, and I know, so I do know my husband's life path number. He is a 4, which corresponds to that, the idea of the architect. And it does suit him. He's very, you know, kind of science minded and logical.
Well, but it's interesting because yours adds up to a 6, and think about it. You're a 4. I mean, you're a 2 and he's a 4, so that adds up to a 6. So the balance is there.
Yeah. So maybe
that's interesting. See, it ended up working out, you know?
So I find the numerology to be quite interesting and kind of fun. And I know there's we could do an entire podcast on the idea of numerology and how, you know, the different numbers of your birth date, the different numbers that correspond to the letters of your name. And, you know, it might not necessarily be useful for like predicting your future or anything like that, but it might help give some insight into like why you're in the place you are now, or maybe some obstacles that that keep reoccurring, like these repeating cycles that people get themselves set into.
So have you done the letters in your name?
I haven't done the letters in my name.
Okay. When you're calculating it, do you calculate it based on your birth name or do you calculate it based on your married name?
See, I haven't found like a good answer to that question either, which is why I've been not so much, what about different spellings of your name? Does it matter? Does it not matter?
Your full birth name is the name to use for numerology. There's life path and then there's birth number. If you go to a numerologist, they kind of like break it out for you. And the way that you figure out that number, you take A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and you put a number associated with it. So A is 1, B is 2, C is 3. And you spell out, or you put all those numbers together, you add them up, and you keep on reducing them down. Because with some people, it's going to be a really big number. It might be 3 digits.
Right.
So you eventually reduce it down to one single number. I had somebody do my numerology at one time because I was going to say that she had it broken down for me. So basically, she breaks it down into all these other numbers, which I'm not really sure that I understand. But she's got like pinnacle numbers, balance numbers, karmic numbers, rational numbers, maturity numbers. Wow.
We got a lot of numbers for you.
Yeah. So she did it based on my birth name, and then she did it on my married name. She did both of them. Oh, interesting. My birth number adds up to an 11. Well, that's interesting. Well, and kind of fun stuff. Yeah. I find this whole thing really fascinating because there's so much in here. And, you know, when you're talking about people trying to find their purpose using astrology or like natal astrology or numerology, it really is helpful to kind of give you a guiding point, because if you dive into it and you just go and like head to the bookstore, buy all your numerology books, you read up on it, and you really get a good feel for what your birth number is and what that means for you. There's a lot that can be taken in on, you know, what you're supposed to learn in this lifetime, what's that purpose that you're supposed to achieve. You know, like with me, everything I've read, including my natal astrology and my numerology, it all kind of comes down to power and success and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and it also goes into being a teacher or being being very spiritual and being very creative, you know, all those things that kind of, and it all just matches up.
Yeah. You know?
It, psychology was something that came up. You know, these are things that show up with us, and it helps us with being able to really determine, you know, where are we supposed to go in life?
Yeah, I think what you said is perfect. It's a starting point, right? It's a point to like see where you are, like where you begin and the different directions you can go, and maybe, you know, a hint to obstacles you'll face on the path. And, you know, if something doesn't line up for you exactly, that's okay. You know, maybe it doesn't apply to you in this lifetime, or maybe you've already overcome whatever challenge that goes along with, or maybe it's something is yet to come to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, you can sit here and go, oh my God, this paints me out to be such a negative, horrible person, too much drama, Michelle, you know, but drama follows you. Yeah. It did for a really long time.
Yeah. Well, it does say like, you don't want it. It kind of like comes to you.
Oh, it did. Believe me.
It's delivered. And it's like special drama delivery.
Special delivery. Michelle. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I get a kick out of that, but here's what's really funny is that I don't really have a lot of drama in my life anymore, but when I dream with a lot of drama. And so I'm like, is there just not enough drama in my life that I have to dream about it?
Your subconscious wants it or something. I don't know.
It, right. It's like, wait, you're a left path eight. You're supposed to have. I will say I am dramatic. Mm. So, you know, I.
Dramatically wonderful.
Aw. You're sweet. All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this. And if you have any questions, make sure that you go to our website at www.raisingyourconsciousness.com. We always upload the podcast on that, and we give you an opportunity to make some comments on it. If you have any questions or you have any comments, any suggestions, we're always open for it. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is Michelle, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for engaging in this podcast and taking this journey with us where we are raising your consciousness. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram and on Facebook so that you can actually engage with us, ask us questions, offer some suggestions, or anything that you would be willing to, you know, throw out there for us. We want to engage with our public. We look forward to hearing back from you and starting this journey. See you next time.